Merkle Media.
And jumped right off the side of the bridge in front of me.
The only people that really pulled over were truckers.
He said, "We're going Hodge," and he didn't slow down. He went across the median onto the oncoming traffic, but where they could see him coming, they just got out of the way.
I noticed his plane was really low. He went right in front of us, hit the fence, and it spun around. You know, 30 seconds more, he could have hit us.
I went around that truck and a guy stepped out from behind the truck and threw a piece of wood and it shot through my window just like a spear and stuck in the back of the cab of my truck.
That's probably one of the stranger things I've seen.
Welcome to the show, everybody. You're listening to Hammer Lane Legends. I'm Tony Merkle and my dad will be joining me. His name is Brian Merkle. I'm flying solo on the intro and outro this week because we forgot to record it. So here I am recording it for you guys because Jack needs me to. He's our producer. He's my younger brother and he does all the magic stuff when it comes to producing this show. If you have a crazy experience you want to share on the show, go ahead and shoot us an email. Our email address is hammerlanelegends@gmail.com. That's hammerlanelegends@gmail.com. Or you can go to the website, hammerlanelegends.com, hit the contact section, and you can reach us that way as well. Either way works for us, just get a hold of us. And if you want some emergency preparedness food, we got you covered because we got it like that. Go to preparewithhll.com, that's preparewithhll.com, and there you can get your emergency supplies so that you can be prepared for any kind of emergency that pops up, including crazy weather out on the road, you're stuck for 2-3 days because of the 5 feet of snow you got, and you know what, you're really glad then at that moment that you went to preparewithhll.com to get your emergency preparedness food. Not to mention your family's safe back home when that weather hits and you're out on the road, you know they're good and they got food, because the food will last up to 25 years shelf life. And right now, if you go to that website, preparewithhll.com, and get a 4-week supply, we'll knock $100 off for you right there on the spot. And if you guys want, you can go ahead and shoot us a voicemail. See, if you don't have a story that will take up a whole show, or you don't really want to be on the show, but you want to tell your story, we got that solution covered for you as well, and that is the voicemail line. Call us at 515-585-MERK. That's 515-585-MERK or 6375. And you can call and leave us a voicemail that's up to 15 minutes long. Anything longer than 15 minutes, I think you should just come on the show and talk to us. Why would you not want to do something like that anyways? It's beyond me. But if you want, you can use the voicemail line. That's 515-585-MERK-6375. This week we got Chris coming on the show. And Chris is a unique guy because he actually went through something that many people don't go through, where he was actually involved in a fatal accident. And he talks about what he can talk about on the show this week. And you know what? I'll tell you, friends, this was one where we were jolly and very jovial. And the conversation quickly turned very serious when we started talking about this. So hopefully you enjoyed this episode. We enjoyed talking to Chris. Let's get to Chris right now. All right, today we got Chris on the show. Chris, how you doing, man?
I'm all right. How you doing, man?
I'm doing good. So you out on the road right now?
Yes, sir. I am in Tennessee on my way to Alabama to deliver a load of frozen meat.
Oh, man. So, all right, before we go any further, you're in Tennessee. I imagine it's not your first time there. Tell me how lovely Tennessee is. Sell me on it, because I'm thinking about moving to Tennessee because the world's burning.
Oh, I love it out in Tennessee. I actually live in North Carolina, but I like Tennessee. It's got a lot of open country. It's pretty out here. A lot of hills, a lot of green acres, a lot of mountains, a lot of open areas, you know?
Yeah.
It snows once in a while, but it's not cold enough to make you freeze, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But it rains a lot, so it keeps everything nice and green.
Yes.
So
where are you originally from? Where do you live?
Me, I'm originally from California, but I got the heck out of that crazy state. And, yeah, we'll just leave it at that. And I moved to North Carolina, and I love it there now.
What part of North Carolina?
I love it there. It's a High Point.
Okay, give me some directions. West, east.
Tony's like, okay, I don't know
where High Point is. Charlotte.
Gotcha.
It's over by Charlotte, and I love it there. It's green.
Mm-hmm.
It always rains. Beautiful hills. It's real laid back. People are real polite and nice.
They are. That they are.
Yeah, it's always been, as soon as I got there, I was like culture shocked. It was like the middle of the day. And I asked my wife when I got there, I said, where's rush hour? She goes, this is rush hour. Jeez. I said, where the hell is everybody?
That's beautiful.
Yep.
That is beautiful.
Because California now, has what, 20
what
million?
Crazy now is when I see What was crazy now is when I see a bunch of people on the road, I'm like, get the hell out of the way. Yeah. There's really nobody there.
You get five people in front of you, and you're like, what the heck? What is it, rush hour?
Oh, man. But it's just Tennessee and North Carolina are pretty much the same. It's just a lot of two-lane highways, open spaces.
I like it.
Tax laws are a lot better, cheaper.
Oh, yeah.
A lot cheaper. You can buy buy property out here real cheap.
Yeah.
Real cheap. And I don't know, houses are not that expensive at all.
Right.
I was looking I was looking into Tennessee properties and stuff, and I live in the Philadelphia area. I have a half an acre, not even a half an acre, close to it. My house was built in 1969, and I had to pay over $230 for my house. It's nothing special. And for the same for $280 in Tennessee, I saw a property that had 4 acres. The house was an older house, but it was just newly renovated, and it had 6 outbuildings for $280. And was like, that's amazing.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Oh, yeah. You'd be surprised that you can get out here. For that. And I don't know if you do hunting or anything like that, or if you like going fishing.
I love fishing.
There's plenty of it out here. Plenty of it.
I'm not going to move anywhere until when I'm driving into the area and I hear just out of thin air, just go ding, 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 ding. I'm like, this is where I want to be. That's the sign. my wife's going to say, where are we going? I'm like, we're driving until we hear the song.
Until you hear the banjo.
Ding, 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 ding. All right. Start looking for property now.
Yeah. That's
then you want to go up by the, you want to go up by the, what is that? The 75. That's up there by Bigfoot Country.
Yeah.
Yeah, Bigfoot Country. I hear they have Bigfoot up there. You can hang out there at Bigfoot.
Sounds good to me. Hey, if I bought a property that had a Bigfoot frequenting it, I'd be down for that, kind of, maybe. It depends on what it's like, I guess. Now that I say it out loud, I probably wouldn't be down for it.
I don't think I want some big hairy beast come visiting me.
Nope, I don't want nothing slapping my house.
I think if I could establish its patterns, I would try to understand like when it shows up, usually what side of the house kind of thing. And I would take like a month off of work and I just stay up all night with my gun and I'd just blow it in the head and take it out. And then, you know,
and then his family comes to haunt you and
get you. Establish a pattern. What are you going to train it?
No, I'm going to shoot it in the head. I'm going to chop it up. I'm going to send its body parts to 10 different people so they all have evidence of it.
You're going to wind up with a siege at Hanabi.
Yeah, it's going to be great.
What the heck?
It's going to be great. I'm going to send, for that month, I'll send my family out of town, and it's just going to be hell on my property.
two places I don't want to go. I don't go any place where Bigfoot is, and I don't want to go any place near Hellier.
Yes.
I don't need aliens on my property, and I don't need Bigfoot. I know we've kind of like gone away from
matter.
Truck driving.
It doesn't matter. It's our
those
show.
Those are two places.
We're going to another show.
Exactly. It's the other show.
So
we've now become guests on Tony's other show.
Yeah. This is what we're calling the merger, friends.
You know personally who I want to see, Tony, and a lot of people say I'm out of my mind for it.
Who?
I want to see the Dog Man.
Oh man, you're crazy.
I do. I just want to see one. I want to see if it's real or not.
There's
from my truck at a distance.
No,
when I'm going 65 miles an hour.
I don't want to shake his hand. I want to shake his hand. I just want to see if the damn thing is real.
There
or
you
not.
Go. Okay.
See, Chris, I knew you were crazy, Chris. I knew you were crazy. I could tell by the sound of your voice.
I just want to know if the damn thing is real or not. I mean, that's all it is. I just want to know if it's real. And if it's real, I'm going to. All right, I'm going the other way. Yep.
I'm good. I've seen it.
Fire or not behind me, I'm going to find me another path.
There's,
you know, but
there's a place in this country that I could get you coordinates to show up at a certain time that supposedly the Dog Man shows up almost on a consistent basis. So, if you're really interested in it, I could probably get you those coordinates.
Send them to me and I'll go.
Sounds good, brother. You might be passing through that area soon, actually.
Yeah, send them to me. I want to go. I do want to go. I'm serious. I want to see that freaking thing.
I'll text my guy and see if he'll hand them over. Because he has the location, but he doesn't hand it out often.
It's not that one that they have the cat. I know they have a thing on YouTube where they're doing the camera thing. They got the camera on it right now. They have a trail cam set up for it.
Mm. Oh, really?
Yeah,
is that what you watch while you're driving?
Oh.
He's a professional.
While you're driving? That's a good way to get in the mess I was in already.
There you go. Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. We're professionals. We don't watch anything but the road.
That's right.
I watch TV. It's enough entertainment watching the clowns on the roof.
Exactly. Yes, sir, you got exactly. That right. I was just going to say.
That's full-fledged entertainment.
Yeah.
Just watch the clowns drive down the road. That'll keep you entertained enough.
Yes.
No, there's some group that put together. I don't know. You can look it up on YouTube. I don't know if you want to say who would be saying, but I know it's
go ahead.
Dogman Encounters. They have something to do with it, and then I forgot the dude's name. But
Dark Waters,
Kundiff. I think Dark Waters has something to do with it too. I think all of them are involved in it, but they set up a trail cam somewhere that's feeding 24 hours a day.
Yeah, I think it's Dark Waters.
It's supposed to be looking at it. I know it's on their Facebook page. But I'm not exactly positive, so don't hold me to it.
Who's
running it? But I've heard of it. I just saw bits and pieces of it. I haven't gone on it.
So Chris,
yes, sir.
What industry are you driving in? I know you're obviously in the rig right now, driving down the road. But what are you? You're not LTL, are you? Like, do you own your own rig or what?
I was LTL for a little while. I did LTL furniture for a little while up in the Northeast, like you guys.
And then you got smart.
Pretty much. I got tired of driving them crazy hills and jumping in and out of the back of a trailer delivering furniture.
Yeah, it's good for the abs, though.
Well, it's good for the abs.
It's hard on everything else.
Yeah.
But it got me in the mess I'm in now.
And what's that mess?
So, I was involved in a fatal accident. And, my life has been gone. I've gone through hell over it. Hell over it. I can't get into particulars of what exactly happened, but I can explain pretty much what they put me through on it.
Yeah.
I lost my job over it. I've lost a lot of job opportunities. I'm pretty much... I've had to go bottom of the barrel job-wise. because I can't find a job.
Right.
You know, I pretty much, the only reason I'm working now is because it's a buddy of mine that hooked me up with somebody. You know, the guy only owns 3 trucks, and I met the guy, and he really liked me, and then we clicked, and we just hooked up, and he worked a deal with me where I worked with him for long enough, and pretty much the truck's mine, but if I just got to stay with him for years, and then the truck will be mine, you know? We worked out a deal, like a lease thing, you know?
Sure.
And, I've gotten, I don't know how many times I've had to go to court over it. They've gone, like, for example, they've pulled my phone records all the way back from a year ago from when this accident happened. They have, when they check your logs, they go all the way back a year. And then when I did the actual deposition, I can talk about the deposition.
Mm-hmm.
I was there for like 4 hours, and they were asking me every freaking question. Oh my gosh, it was insane. They just, and the emotional part of it is too, you know, I felt terrible for the guy, and I felt terrible for what happened.
Mm-hmm.
And they—it's like they keep pounding it in your head. What happened? What happened? What happened? And you're like, I like I said, I can't get into the details, and all I say is, I don't know. I don't know. That's all I can say. You know? And I'm like, I don't know. And then they're just like, there's a constant phone calls and the constant going back and forth to court, and then there's a constant time that I lay in the bunk and I feel bad about the guy's family and I feel bad inside. And it's like, I took a couple weeks off. I didn't want to get back in the truck, but you know, I had to get back in the truck because I'm the main breadwinner.
Right.
My wife's has a busted up neck. I have 2 boys and it's only me. And it's like, when I first got in the truck, I was a nervous wreck. You know, I was afraid to drive.
Yeah, I can imagine.
And the incident happened at night. It's like, I was afraid to drive at night because I was afraid it would happen again. And I lost a lot of nights of sleep over it. And like I said, they go back to your phone records. They took my phone from me.
Wow.
I had to go back. One time, they took my phone from me. And when they took my phone from me, they downloaded all the information off my phone and pretty much crashed my phone. And I lost all this music. I lost all this data. I lost all kinds of stuff on my phone. And they pretty much gave me back a broken phone and said, well, we don't know what to tell you.
Wow.
I'm like, it's like a brick to me now. What the hell am I supposed to do with it? They're like, well, I don't have to tell you. You can make phone calls on it. And I'm like, well, that's about effing useless.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, they're like, well, I don't know what to tell you. And you know, it's like, and no matter how much you try to explain, you don't know what happened and you feel bad. And I was found not at fault. I was found not at fault by the police department, but they still treat you like you are the one at fault. This is your fault. And they treat you like the criminal,
right?
Like, you know, you were caught with a knife in your hand. And that's the worst fucking feeling. I'm saying it's the worst fucking feeling in the world, knowing damn well you did not do this, but it still fucking happened. But then, you know, it's like, I'm sorry. What the hell you want me to do? You know, but like I said, all I can tell is other drivers, man, just be careful. Do not get in this predicament. Because once you get in that spot, that stays on your record for 7 years. I can't get, I don't know what I'm going to do after 7 years. I went to try to go get my own insurance. Oh my Lord, is it, you wouldn't believe how much they had wanted for me. And another reason I'm getting paid so low is in order for me to work for the guy I'm with now, in order for him to have insurance on me, I had to take a hit on pay just to keep me insured.
Wow.
Holy cow.
Yeah. I mean, it's crazy. And, you know, it's like nobody wants, once you get this happens to you, nobody wants to touch you. Nobody. You are like the black, man, you're like Corona and the black plague mixed. Yeah. Nobody wants you.
Yeah, because, I mean, it's like, this is, I mean, I don't know about you, but for me, I mean, driving truck is all I'm qualified to do. Like, so if I don't have access to being able to drive a truck anywhere because of something, like it's life destroying, not even life changing. It's life destroying.
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, I know how to weld, but that's not what I want to do. I'm over that. That was something I did when I was younger. You know, it was fun for the time, but I'm not a factory guy. I got burnt out on it. You know, I'm more of a guy. I like what I'm doing now. I get to build, the company I work for, they're real cool with me. They don't bug me. They don't call me. They say, okay, go get, you know, here's a load. It needs me here. They leave me alone. Love it. My boss leaves me alone. Nobody bothers me. Only time they'll call me is say, hey, you got to get that there at this time, right? You know, can you, once you get it there, can you maybe make this load to this time at this time, and we can set you up with this and this? That's all they do. They plan. That's all they do. Or they say, you know, okay, if we set you up with this and this and this, you know, they plan ahead. All they do. They don't bother me. They don't check up on me. They leave me the hell alone. That's what I like. I don't like being rushed. I don't like being bugged. And it works perfect for me. And it's like, you know, I'm lucky to have what I have, and I'm blessed to have what I have, and I feel so bad for that gentleman what happened. But like I said, I can't get into the details. But all I got to say, I feel bad.
Well,
I feel bad.
And, you know, here's the part that really needs to catch people's attention is that you were not found guilty by the cops. So I'm assuming there was no citations or anything like that. You know,
I got nothing. I got nothing.
And yet it's hung around your neck.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
And that's the problem with this industry is that when things go wrong, no matter what it is and no matter who is at fault, a lot of times it becomes the driver who winds up paying the price. And that's not right. Just because there's deep pockets in the companies and stuff like this and insurances and everything else, that's the stuff that I find just so awful because it hangs it around your neck and you're the one who carries that and you're reminded of it constantly. It's not like it's something that you don't remember. It's not like something you're going to forget. You're a human being and you're going to remember this but you're reminded of it every time you apply for a job. You're reminded of it. You're reminded of it every time you're denied insurance. You're reminded of it. And it's an ongoing thing now. And that's what's not right. And that is one of the things that I despise about this industry is that kind of stuff. Because you know, I love doing what I do, but it's one of those things that
I love it.
I'm with you. I am with you 100%. But it drives me crazy. And that is the lesson that you walk away with is no matter what happens out there, it's going to be my fault. And that's why all these people cutting you off during rush hour in the morning and all these people doing all these stupid things out there on the road, that's why it gets so infuriating to truck drivers because you are playing with my life.
Yeah.
Because this may affect the rest of
me. You're playing with my life, my license, my paycheck.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
You know, a lot of people don't see that, and that's what gets me so mad. We're automatically at fault. We're automatically at fault, no matter what.
That's correct.
No matter what. You know, just like if you get in a fender bender, you know, even though it's not your fault. I mean, not all of us. I mean, granted, there's people that have 2 million miles under their belt, and congratulations.
Sure.
You know, that's a lot of miles to not have an accident. But people who have automatically, usually what nine or ten times a cop comes and asks you what happened. Dude, it's not always me. You know what I mean?
Yep. That's exactly
right.
Don't
you ask that dude.
Yep. Ask him or her what she did or he did. Why are you asking the truck driver?
Yeah, don't automatically come to me all the time.
Right. Yep. Yep.
That's crazy. I just don't get it. And it's like, it's just insane how they treat us. We're supposed to be the keep America, what they say, we keep America moving.
Right.
Well, treat us like it. Quit treating us like freaking dirt.
Yep. Yep.
You know?
It's like Tony said earlier this year, we were the heroes, and now all of a sudden we're back to being the dirt bags who, you know, sit behind the wheel of a big rig.
Yeah, you know, treat us like human beings. Treat us like we have families. You know? Don't treat us like we're dirt. That irritates the hell out of me. I've gone to places where, when this coronavirus first hit, and, you know, and masks weren't mandated at first, people were throwing their shirts over their face like I was the plague. I'm like, come on, man, I'm a human.
Yeah.
Just because I'm in a truck don't mean I'm filthy dirty.
Right.
You know, exactly. Or they're looking at you like, get away from me. You know, I'm like, come on, why you treat me like this? And that's a horrible feeling to have.
Yes, it is. Until they all ran out of toilet paper, and then we became the highway heroes.
Yeah, you know, that's a horrible feeling to have. I just don't get it. It's like a thankless job, you know, just like the military back in the 70s when they came back.
Yep.
They're getting spit on. That's bullshit.
Yep.
You know, I have nothing but full pride for the military, no matter what people say. You know, I'm 100% American. I love my country. May not like the politicians, but I love my country.
Amen to that, brother.
Love the country.
Just straight up.
I love the country, you know? As to what it used to be. Right now, I don't recognize it.
Yeah, it's becoming freaking chaos, and then, I don't know if I can say it, but that dude coming in office right now, I ain't too happy about that, but that's my opinion.
Yeah, there's about 74 million people feeling the same way.
Yeah, well, we'll have to see how that works out.
It won't.
It won't.
Well, it depends on what side of that, on what side of the aisle you're on. You know what I mean? Like,
it's not even an aisle. No, hold on.
Well, you know what I mean.
Yeah, it's not, though. That's the thing. Like, it's not even an aisle.
Right.
Like what we're living through right now, what we're going through is so much bigger than a presidency.
Oh, yeah.
And that's what I mean. Like this is the transition into a new world order. This is transition into a global government where America has to be knocked down a peg.
Oh, yeah.
And that's what we're experiencing right now. That's what we're witnessing right now in real time.
But that's
the deconstruction of the American empire.
And but that's what I mean is the people who will, I'm going to say it, and I, if it offends you, I apologize to anybody who this offends. But if you're the sheeple and you just follow right along and do what they want you to do,
that's
what I mean by the aisle splits. That's what I mean is you got people who are not into this, and they're not into all the socialism that's coming our way and everything that's going to happen. And you have the other side,
and that's what I mean by two aisles. And I'm not trying to offend anybody either, come on, people. Look at this guy on TV. He has a hell of a time putting a sentence together.
Come on, man.
Half the time he doesn't even recognize who the hell he's talking about when he introduces him on the damn podium.
Right.
Yeah. Hey, this dude's going to run the country? Oh, man. We're in for a hell of a ride.
Yeah. Yes, we are.
Let's go somewhere else because we're all day long.
Yeah, but even just getting back to your situation, you know, it's just you look at these things, and this is why truck drivers do get really frustrated with people on the road, because they don't take into account that
they can't get a lot of drivers.
Yes, exactly. That's exactly right. They're asking you to put your life on the line. Go ahead.
Who wants to be treated like dirt?
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
And then once you lose your license and that's all you know, what the hell are you going to do?
Yep.
Or are you going to make the kind of money you make doing this, and then you have this certain lifestyle, and maybe you bought a house, maybe a couple cars, or whatever, or right. You know, it's not about money, but you have a certain lifestyle or certain things that you've done to support your family.
Yep.
How are you going to provide for them now?
Yep.
Exactly. You know, maybe you got four kids. How the hell are you going to provide for them working in a warehouse? It ain't going to happen. They don't pay nothing in a warehouse. You know that.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. You got that right.
It sounds like you're in a rough spot, man.
I don't really worry about it. You know why? Because I believe in the Lord and he'll take care of me. So I'm all right. That's just my opinion.
Amen, brother. Nope. I'm with you there.
I don't worry about it. The Lord will take care of me.
Yes.
I make enough in a week. And I got a very smart wife. And believe it, we're doing really good.
Good. I'm glad. I am. We've learned
to make good with what we got.
Mm-hmm.
So we're all right. We're all right. So I can't complain whatsoever. So it's good.
You know, Chris, it's like what I tell my wife. I'm not afraid to go to the bottom of the barrel. I'm not afraid to lose everything. And when you have that mindset that you're not afraid to live without, because a lot of times people who act like that, like I do, it's because we've been there.
Yep.
And so when you live through being on the bottom of the barrel, like I'm not afraid to go back there. And so, it sounds like you're kind of a similar, I don't know if you've ever been in the bottom barrel, but it sounds like you're the kind of guy that's just like, you know, I'm not afraid.
Well, you know how I came to this guy? When all this was going down?
Mm-hmm.
3 years ago, I've been here for 3 years now. I came to him the day before Christmas. I started working for him on Christmas Day. I took a plane from my house to where I picked my truck up, and I started working for him on Christmas Day, and I've been working for him since. No money, nothing in my pocket, except the first advance I pulled out, put food in my truck till I could get home to get my stuff. So, you know, that's how I did it. So, you know, because the place I was working for, they tried to keep me. You know, they have a yard where I was pumping gas in the trucks, but, you know, it's like I'm making enough money. I was like, I got to go. You know, I can't do this. I can't make no living off of this. So, you know, they could put me as a driver until all this was cleared up, and shit, case is still going. So, you do the math.
Right, exactly.
So, I came here, and ever since then, you know, I've had my ups and downs, but, you know, my ups and downs with the truck, and then, you know, it took me a while to get up, and then, you know, I'm at a pretty cool pay scale. I wish I could make more, but, you know, give it a couple more years, and then we'll just see where it goes from there.
Yeah.
You know, that's all I can do. You know, I don't know. All I gotta say is when you're involved in something like that, expect a crazy, crazy ride, because it's
yep.
You're in for a hell of a ride. And when it first happened, I honestly thought I was going to jail.
That's what they make you feel, too.
I was scared shitless. I thought I was going to jail. You know, but luckily I was not found guilty. I was afraid I was going to prison. What the hell was going to happen to my family?
Right.
You know, but I was found not guilty.
You know,
I did nothing wrong. They went back in all my phone records at the time of the incident. They will go back. That's what I'm telling you, drivers. Be careful on these phones, man. Yep. They do not fuck around on these phones.
Yep.
You got you on this phone. If you are on this phone making a phone call, this shit happens. They will use that against you.
Yes, sir.
If you're watching TV and that shit happens, they will find a way. They even went back. They wanted to know what apps I had on my phone at the time of the accident.
Yeah, they want to see if you were accessing any of those apps at any time while you were driving.
They wanted to know everything.
Yes, sir.
They wanted to know what apps. I had a dash cam on my truck. I gave him the dash cam. That saved my butt a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Was the dash cam facing you?
No, it was facing the outside.
Outward facing.
Okay, so it saved your butt because they could see how your truck reacted during the time of the accident.
Yes.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Yeah. So dash cams work.
But they still
try to put you in the ringer like you're at fault.
Yes.
No matter what.
That's the thing that you know, you try and it's preached to us all the time by our own safety directors and stuff like that at the companies, but it's true. Don't be on your phone. Don't be making phone calls. Don't be texting. Don't be doing anything with your phone because they are going to go back and check your records and see if you were doing anything. And that's what it's just, it's like, it is one of those things that just scares you. It scares you to death. The thought of anything like that happening because of how invasive an investigation will get into you.
They're crazy. They tried accessing my Facebook. They couldn't get into it because it's a private setting. They tried to do everything. They wanted to know my wife's name, this, that. It's crazy. They're trying to catch you. They try to trip you on everything. If there's a way to catch you doing something wrong or catch you in a lie, once they do that deposition on you, you know, where they ask you all these questions, you know,
yeah,
they will get you on it. They're just after money. They are just after money. That's the whole point, these other people.
Yes,
they
is.
Are just, like you said, they are after that money like a son of a bitch.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't care how they get it from you.
Nope.
Or what they do to the driver.
Nope. They don't care if they ruin
your life. I am just a number to them. Yes. I am just a number to them. And I am just a payday.
Yeah.
And it's sad.
They don't care how they get it.
No, you're right. I agree with that. And it's sad that as a driver, you begin to feel that way. But you look at things from the realistic point of view of this is how it is. And that's why, you know, you constantly hear it preached by safety directors at trucking companies. Stay off your phone. Don't be talking on it. Don't do anything with it. Put it on the dash. Put it in your pocket. Put it up above you in a cubby hole or whatever, and don't touch it. Because otherwise, you know, if something happens, you are at the mercy of everybody else. And you're so right, Chris. It's crazy. It is crazy.
Yeah, it's like I got a level one the other day, and Officer Steve saw me have my phone in my hand. He goes, "Why is your phone in your hand?" Because my logs are on my phone, because I have that Keep Trucking app. I said, "I'm just putting my log on duty, because you know you're going to do a level one."
Right.
He goes, "Where is it mounted?" And I said, "Right here on my dash." Oh, okay. You know? So I showed him where I mounted, boom, and he left me alone. He goes, "Okay, that's fine." So that's what I'm saying. You've got to have it. Well, you can see it, but you can't touch it.
Yep.
You can't have it in your hand.
Yep.
You see some of these drivers just driving down the road, blah, 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 feet up on the dash, watching movies. I'm like,
I know,
man,
right?
Were you in your living room?
Yep. Oh,
my. Yeah, your damn mind.
Yes.
I just
look at it, okay, I tell my, I used to, it didn't really aggravate me. It just be like, what the hell's wrong with this guy? Then I used to, now I tell myself, well, your ticket or whatever happens to you is happening to you. Ain't on me. Yeah, that's what I just tell myself.
I remember back in the days when I used to drive straight trucks, I was going down the turnpike and I saw a trailer. It was a road guy,
mm-hmm.
and he was barefoot, at least the one I saw, because it was his left foot up on the dash at the window, like he was getting a breeze on his foot. And I was like, wow. Yeah, you know? Like, that's a little... If you have a sudden front end accident, that's gonna hurt a lot.
Be eating your knee, that's what you're gonna be doing.
Yeah, you're gonna have your kneecap for dinner.
Yeah.
Oh man, that's crazy.
Yep, that's stuff you see.
A lot of people that do that.
Yes, there are a lot of people. You drive past people and you see them watching movies on their, you know, on their iPad or on their big screen, phone or whatever.
Oh yeah, I see some brazen son of a bitches that have it on their iPad right there in the middle of the dash.
Yeah, yeah.
Propped up on the window. I'm like, good God.
Yep. I know. It's like, what? Are you crazy?
I don't understand how they not get caught.
I don't either.
How the hell do they not get caught?
I cannot figure that out. I can't either.
How the hell do you not get caught? know that big old broad ass screen in front of you.
Yep.
Maybe they think it's a GPS. I don't know.
I don't know, but I think they're crazy. I've seen them with their feet up on the dash. I've seen people doing all kinds of crazy stuff. And it just drives you crazy because you know the danger. You know the danger.
Yeah.
You know what can happen. And things happen in a split second. Things happen that quick. You don't have time to respond or react. That's why you've got to be in professional mode all the time. Because you don't have time
to play
around.
You never know what's going
to
happen.
That's right. You don't know.
And especially inside the truck stops.
Yes.
Be very, very careful in the truck stops. I'll leave it at that.
What do you mean? I know you just said leave it at that, but do you mean like pedestrians crossing or what?
Yes.
Okay.
That's all I can say.
Gotcha. Man, I understand the roughness in this. And, you know, when you were describing how they treat you after an accident, it reminds me of how they treat people with the gun situation, because people, especially now, the way things are in the world, we have a shortage in bullets and especially shotguns, because everybody's buying guns and stuff. And there's a big amount of people who are buying guns that were not gun people before. They were anti-gun or whatever, and they're buying guns because they need to protect themselves, they think. The thing is that people aren't thinking about is, yeah, I mean, guns are good for that, right? Obviously, the Second Amendment is there for a reason. You protect yourself. And even when, like, I don't know how it is everywhere in the country, but like when I just did this recently to renew my carry license, they ask you what the reason is. And one of the reasons you can select for having a carry license is self-protection. But the thing is, it's not a simple, hey, I was defending myself, I'm good kind of thing. If you have to shoot somebody, even if you're completely in the right, you're going to be in court for years. And you're not, during that process, you're not going to have your guns. You're going to have, it's a whole legal matter. I was just doing delivery this past week, and the one guy that he owns the business, and I'm talking to him, and he told me that, because we were talking about guns and everything, and he actually pulls his gun out and shows me his gun and stuff. And he said that just 2 weeks ago, there were some kids that broke into the business below him, and the police came, and the kids wound up shooting at the cops. And the cops detained one of the two kids, and the other two kids took off. And he got in his truck and he chased the kids down and held them at gunpoint for about 10 minutes before the police came. And the police thanked him. They said he did the right thing and everything. And and he said his adrenaline was pumping. He was shaking. And, you know, he was on the verge of possibly shooting somebody if they tried to pull a gun on him. And I said to him, you know, how'd you feel in that moment? He said, I was shaking like crazy. And he said that, he's going to be in court. He's dealing with court now because he had to pull his gun out to stop two people that shot at police officers. That's how serious this is. So, I mean, people will think that, you know, I'm going to have a gun, I'm going to protect myself. Hopefully you never have to, but if you have to, you do what you got to do. But just understand that the aftermath of having to do something like that, there's a lot of court proceedings to follow. And it's this very similar thing as to what you're describing with the accident.
Oh, yeah, it's crazy. It's downright crazy. It's too many damn laws. They make things too damn complicated nowadays. Things are just too... It's just too crazy. It's too complicated. And, you know, there's right and there's wrong. Simple as that. Right and wrong.
Yeah.
You know? Either it was right that it happened or it's wrong that it happened. Somebody robbed you or you shot at the cops. He held him at gunpoint. Okay, end of story. Let the dude go. Problem solved.
Right.
Just like the Wild Wild West back in the days. And that's what it's probably going to turn into. going the way it's going.
I was going to say the same thing. You know? Yep. It feels like that's where we're going.
Turn back into the Wild Wild West. I mean, I'm protected. My kid's protected. He went and got himself a handgun, and it took... like 2 weeks to get a damn permit out of North Carolina.
Wow.
Because of this damn COVID garbage. You know, you had to go inside and then they got to mail it out. And it's crazy.
Yeah.
And I told him, as soon as you get that gun, As soon as you get your gun, you get your permit. Stock up on bullets. That's all I got to say. Stock up on bullets.
And they're not cheap anymore either. They've gone up in price big time.
Yep.
What's her name is trying to tax everything now, too, once she gets in there. She wants to tax our guns. Good luck on that.
Yep.
Well, all I can say is this. If they come for the guns, just say you had a boating accident last week and you lost all your guns at the bottom of the river. I don't have any guns. Sorry.
What are you talking about? I lost mine. My truck burned out in the field. And they went with it.
Yeah, it is what it is. The irony, you come this week for my guns and last week I had this accident. I lost all my guns. It is what it is. I'm sorry. I know I have them registered and I know that it looks like on paper I have guns, but I literally just lost all my guns and they're at the bottom of the lake and you're never going to find them because I tried. I tried. I dove and I couldn't find them.
I went scuba diving.
Yeah.
I didn't go deep enough.
So carry on.
Carry on your very merry way.
Yep.
It's a crazy world we live in.
Oh, God.
Well, Chris.
I got a story for you. For you, though.
Go for it.
Talk about different stories.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I got one story for a dumb one. I want to tell you something dumb I did.
Okay.
Lighten the mood a little bit.
Good.
When I first started driving out here in the Midwest, I was going through Wyoming, and I figured, well, you know how you've never been on the 80, never mind. Well, the 80 gets real bad, windy and slippery and all that. And I figured, well, they closed the 80 down, I'm going to take a little side road. So me and my dog, we went on this little side road, and I'm looking at the map. Okay, I could go this way and this way and this way. Okay. Me being the smart guy that I was, now I'm not used to Wyoming. Never drove around the Midwest in my life. All used to the East Coast. Get off the freeway, start taking this little road up. I start going up and up and up and up. All of a sudden the road closed. No way to turn around, Tony. It's all blocked in and snowed in.
Jeez.
The only way to turn around is to back down. So when I go to back down, the truck slides right into a ditch. Oof. So I'm stuck in the ditch. So I'm looking at the dog and me, and I'm like, oh, what the hell are we going to do now? So I put on my shoes, and I put on my jacket. And I remember seeing a cabin down the, like a little house down the road, maybe a mile or so or a half mile. So I figured it shouldn't be too bad. Yeah. So I thought. So I start walking down the road, right? Not realizing this snow is always actually all the way up to my freaking knees. So I'm walking, and then when I get to this house finally, when I go to walk towards this dude's door, I get buried all the way into my neck when I go, the snow was so high that he had his ground, I guess his house went down like at an angle where his yard went down at an angle and the snow was so high that when I stepped down, the snow went all the way up to my neck.
Jeez.
When I stepped down into it. So I'm wading through this damn snow trying to get to this dude's door and it was so cold, and I'm screaming, hey, I'm feeling like an effing idiot. Hey, I know the guy's there because his TV's on. Hey, and I'm just waiting through it, trying to get up there. I don't know how many times I fell in the snow. By the time I get to this dude's door, I am soaking wet. I'm pounding on the door. Then you come opening the door, and his boxers and his shirt, nice warm house. He goes, dude, you almost got shot. He's all, what the hell are you doing? I said, my truck's stuck up on the hill. He's all, what? My truck is stuck up on the hill. I need a phone. He's all, well, maybe we can get it down. I said, you can't get it down. Not with the pickup truck. What do you mean? I go, it's a semi. So they had to call a wrecker out. and he had to come up, and he almost got stuck in the snow. Get me out. It took him 45 minutes to an hour to get me out of that. That was one of the dumbest things. That was the stupid, dumbest rookie move I've ever done. And I will call myself a rookie on that one. I will never do something that dumb again. But that cost me $3,800 to get that truck back down the hill.
Wow.
I thought that was that would be something humorous to put in the story.
Yeah.
That was,
you know,
that was
yeah,
that was funny.
Oh yeah, I mean it's you're gonna do things sometimes that you're just like afterwards you're just like, you know, I can't believe I did that, you know. And in your head you sound like Joe Biden.
Come on, man.
You know what I mean?
Man, come on, man.
Come on, man.
My boss was like, what the hell were you thinking? You could have died up there. And my other buddy's like, dude, you know there's bears and blind or mountain lions and shit up there, and you're just walking around there in the middle of the night? I said, man, I'm not used to Wyoming. I don't know.
Well, you know,
I'm
now.
From California and North Carolina. I don't know shit about Wyoming. I felt like I was one of the dumbest fucking things I ever did.
Oh,
God, that was dumb. Oh, that was dumber than shit. Yeah, I was soaking wet when I hit, man. I was colder than hell when I went up that hill.
Yeah,
came down that hill. Yeah, it was buried up to my neck. And then he looked at the map, my boss. I had to go to my boss's that next day. I got an ass chewing for it. It was not really chewed out, but he said, hey, dude, come here. He said, did you see that on the map? I said, what? He said, look at on the map. It said, road closed for the winter. I said, son of a bitch.
Man, Chris.
I was like, damn it.
Yeah, it's like one of those things where you're just like, man, if I would have seen that.
If I only would have saw that.
I had a bad map.
Well, because it was a hot, and then that goes with the point of, you know, no load is worth your life. It was a hot load. I just started working for these guys.
Yeah.
For the company I went now, and I was trying to make a good impression. You know, like you did, Tony, working your ass off.
Yep. I'll tell you the first snowstorm that I drove in that was significant mm-hmm. was at Pitt, Ohio. They hired me with a Class B license, and I was driving a straight truck.
Mm-hmm.
And I drove all day long in the snow, and it was I mean it was the first year I was there, and you know it was just you're driving, you're being careful. I'm going back to the terminal, and Dad, you remember the old terminal. And I'm on the road going by the Walmart on the left-hand side, and I made a left to go down towards the terminal. And when I made that left, I get on that road, and my tire starts spinning. And maybe I was empty or what, I don't remember. But it got to the point where I'm shifting gears, and like my truck is now sideways in that road. And I'm like, I'm not far. I could see the terminal, you know?
Right.
And so I'm trying. I'm like, I don't want to be that. I just got to get back. And the more I tried, the more that truck spun and is like sideways. And so I call the terminal and I tell them that, hey, I'm stuck. Where are you at? Right up the road. And they sent Matt Renninger up the hill in his pickup truck. So I see this guy coming up in a pickup truck. He gets up to me. I'm thinking to myself, well, I'm already feeling sheepish now because this guy made it up to me in a pickup truck. He gets in my truck and just pulls it right straight. And I was like, I don't know what to say. He did it like it was a dry road. And I was thinking to myself, what the heck? Like, I felt so embarrassed because I get this truck sideways. I call the terminal. They send another driver up in his pickup truck. He makes it up to the hill to me, and he just gets in and drives it. And I was just like, what the heck?
Oh, wow.
It comes with experience.
Yeah. Yeah. It sure does.
Yeah, because, like, I was driving in Nebraska the other day, and I was light, and it started spinning, and I just let off the gas, let it go a little bit, give it gas, you know, just cruise up the hill a little bit, you know?
Yeah.
That's a selfless experience. You know, you just learn. Learn the trick.
I remember the first snowstorm I drove in with a tractor trailer. I'm out driving about, and it just got to the point where I called it. I'm like, I got to come back. And when I call in, dispatch is like, oh, yeah, most of the guys are coming back. I'm like, just call me and tell me that, please.
Know, right?
You know? But the whole way back, there was nobody on the road. Before I say this, there was nobody on the road. And every time, up to this point, every time I stopped the truck, I was getting stuck.
Right.
And so from the point I called them, and I was stuck when I called them. And so when I got unstuck, I didn't stop my truck one time until I got back to the terminal in the yard. And when I stopped in the yard to back into a dock, I got stuck. But I mean, there was nobody on the roads. Yeah. And so like, I'm just like, I'm approaching like an intersection, and I just, you know, kind of keeping the truck moving carefully through it.
Momentum,
and you know, you just kind of put your four ways on, and you kind of just give your horn a toot toot, you know, like anybody who is here, just letting you know I'm not stopping, you know. Because I mean, some of these environments, when you're driving in the snow and stuff, and you know, if you stop knowing you're getting stuck and you get stuck, like now you're getting everybody stuck.
Yep.
You know, so it's just like, it's best sometimes just keep it moving. But Chris,
get out of my way, you're going with me.
Yep. Exactly.
Exactly.
I hope you want to go to the terminal with me, because that's where I'm headed.
Yeah.
Come on.
I could use you to push when I get stuck again.
Yeah. Maybe we can work together and get on where we got to go.
Yeah. Teamwork makes the dream work. So
there you go.
Yeah.
Chris, man, it's been good. What was that?
Go ahead. I've been in some crazy, crazy. I think the worst is I've been in is Minnesota. Something about Minnesota, man. That place is nuts.
Yes, it does.
It just ices over bad for me for some reason.
It's just
that's
you.
The
don't
worst
worry.
Place I've been to yet.
Minnesota is horrible.
Yeah.
Texas, man, that wind on that 90 up there, man, it just catches you and just like,
yeah,
swings you around like a pogo stick, or like a, it swings you around everywhere.
Yes, it does.
Yeah. I was talking to one of our drivers who used to drive over the road, and I don't know what state he was in, but it was one of those states that it's real flat and, you know, high winds and stuff. And he was telling me that, you know, when you're in that going straight on a road and it's high winds like that, like you're literally steering your truck into the wind just to keep it straight.
Yeah.
And I was like, holy crap. Yeah. I can't imagine that. Yeah.
It's crazy.
That's the way it is out there in the Northeast or the Midwest. Sometimes I'll be driving like that, my damn wrist will be hurting by the end of the day because I'm just like fighting the damn wind.
Yeah.
It's crazy. You know, but I like the Midwest myself because it's like, you know, there's not a lot of cars. A lot of cars in an open area, and it's just, just go.
Yeah. Yeah. There's not a lot of anything.
Yeah. You know, here's your load, get it there.
Yeah,
because I run a lot from North Dakota down to Texas, some to Indiana. Once in a while, I go to I do a lot of California runs during the summer for produce, but I mainly go from North Dakota to Texas and back in Indiana and North Dakota.
Mm.
That's mainly what I do, and it's nice. It's a nice run. And the spots that I go to, I always go to them, so I don't have to. I really don't need my GPS. I pretty much know where I'm going all the time.
That's good because
it's helpful.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes using a GPS kind of gets you in a bad jam, anyways, as a trucker.
I don't watch that damn thing half the time. It's like you said, that thing is getting lost.
Yeah.
Especially this new Rad McNally one they got out. That thing freaking lies to you half the time. It'll tell you, go this way when you know damn well you can go, you can cut it off by 2 miles by going this way. So I don't believe that damn thing. I use it just as a general thing to get me in the area where the hell I got to go, and then I just check it out. If I have to, I use a map look.
That's the best way to do it. That's the best way to do it, to not use it as the Bible, but just, you know, it's a general rule of thumb. It's okay.
It gets you to the area.
Yeah.
Gets me to where I got to go, and then from there I figure it out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't use it as, like some people, as gospel. Right. It's crazy.
Yeah.
You wind up under a bridge.
Yes.
I don't know about you, but I like the top of my trailer.
Yeah, or up some road that says closed for the winter.
Don't be reading a MacBook. Don't be reading a MacBook without my damn glasses on, damn it.
That'll do it, too.
That's the story I'm going with, damn it.
That works.
Sure, wink and nod.
That's your story, and
it's
stick it to
line.
It.
I'll tell how I want to tell
That's
it.
That's right.
You can't force me to tell it any other way.
Well, that's the show, everybody. We really hope you enjoyed it. If you did enjoy it, please share the show with your friends. We don't care where or how you share the show. Just share the show if you enjoyed it, because if you enjoyed it, other people will enjoy it as well. And that absolutely helps the show grow when you tell other people to listen to the Hammer Lane Legends. You can share it on social media. We don't care what social media platform, or you can go ahead to the website, hammerlanelegends.com, hit the gear section and purchase a hoodie, a t-shirt, or something like that to help support the show, and also share the show, because when you're wearing that gear, people are going to turn their heads and be like, what is a Hammer Lane? And you can say, it's legendary. I have no idea what that was about, but listen, guys, we really appreciate you listening to the show. Hopefully you're enjoying it, because we're enjoying making it, and as long as you're here and emailing us your stories, we're going to continue to make it. Until next week, keep the hammer down in the Hammer Lane.
Santa called a meeting of the North Pole. Elf said, listen here, this year we need a little help. There've been so many good little girls and boys, the sleigh won't hold all those toys. So heat up your hot chocolate thermos mugs, there's a Christmas toy convoy revving up. Santa got a semi flying down the road, southbound North Pole overload. Got a wreath on the grill, star on the hood. He's checking off his list, so you better be good. He's got a speaker on the top playing jingle bells, red snow flaps on them 18 wheels. Tell me, have you ever seen steel and chrome fly? Beep, beep, bye-bye, Santa got a semi. Santa called up the state patrol, said if you see him coming, boys, let him roll. We got a long night ahead and a big job to do, the set.
10-4, Santa, you can roll on through.
But be real careful, don't forget to buckle up, cause there's a whole lot of love in them big old trucks. Santa got a semi flying down the road, southbound North Pole overload. Got a wreath on the grill, a star on the hood. He's checking off his list, so you better be good. He's got a speaker on the top playing jingle bells, red snow flaps on them 18 wheels. Tell me, have you ever seen steel and chrome fly? Beep, beep, bye-bye, Santa got a semi. Big truck with a star on the hood, you better think twice, yeah, you better be good, cause Santa got a semi flying down the road, southbound North Pole overload. Got a wreath on the grill, star on the hood. He's checking off his list, so you better be good. He's got a speaker on the top playing jingle bells, red snow flaps on them 18 wheels. Tell me, have you ever seen steel and chrome fly? Beep, beep, bye-bye, Santa got a semi. Beep, beep,
bye-bye,
Santa got a semi. Ha, ha, ha.